This is Jim Inkster, and our guest at this time is Ron Rapoport. He was a sports columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times for more than two decades, and he served as a sports commentator for NPR's Weekend Edition for 20 years. He's the winner of the 2015 Ring Lardner Award for Excellence in Sports Journalism. More than a dozen books have been written by this fine gentleman, and Ron Rapoport is back in a huge way with Let's Play 2, The Legend of Mr. Cub, The Life of Ernie Banks. And Ernie Banks was a baseball player in a great era with a lot of famous players in the National League like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Roberto Clemente. And yet nobody was more enthusiastic and perhaps more revered by his hometown fans than Ernie Banks. Why was he so exceptional as far as how he was received by the people who knew him best?
Well, you know, Jim, he was just a wonderful player. Sometimes that's overlooked. What do we remember about Ernie? That he said, let's play two, you know, which has become a part of the American vocabulary. It was a big headline in the New York Times today. I mean, it'll never be forgotten. And the second thing is that he never got to play in a World Series. But what's forgotten is what a truly wonderful baseball player he was. From 1955 to 1960, he hit more homers and drove in more runs than those players you mentioned. More than anybody in baseball, more than Aaron, more than Mays, more than Mantle. He was the finest power hitter in baseball at that time. And for his trouble, Jim, the Cubs finished in those 6 years a total of 123 games out of first place.
Wow.
So here he is, this wonderful player, and with this sunny, optimistic attitude, and he's playing for these awful teams. And people sort of looked at him with a measure of wonder and sadness. It made him, I think, unique in baseball. And Chicago, your question about why he was so loved in Chicago, Chicago fans warmed to that. You know, on this promoting this book, I've had so many people tell me about how their father, you know, loved Ernie Banks, and how their mother would sit and watch the games, you know, on television, on WGN. So Ernie had this sort of special place in the hearts of Cubs fans, who are as forlorn in his era and as passionate as any fans in baseball.
Well, Ernie Banks was born January 31, 1931, Dallas, Texas, and he shares a birthday, different year than with Nolan Ryan, and we're talking about two giants in the game. And he played shortstop, and you just don't find that many middle infielders with the kind of power that Ernie Banks had. So considering that he was a very good shortstop in his younger years, and he played the game with the same kind of abilities that the aforementioned Mays and Aaron had, he may have been the best player in baseball in his prime.
Well, there was a time in about 1955, 1956, and then, of course, he won back-to-back MVP trophies in 58, 59, where Frank Lane, do you remember him, Trader Lane, who was general manager of a lot of different teams, he said if he had his choice of any player in baseball, it would have been Ernie. But because he never got to the World Series, because he never made that famous catch that Willie made or broke a home run record the way Hank Aaron did, He never really had his moment because he never was on the national scene at the end of the season with the World Series. So it's frustrating to me when I hear people list the great players of his era that sometimes Ernie is forgotten. And you're absolutely right. He was a very good shortstop. But here's the funny part. Because he was the power hitter, baseball couldn't believe that he was really should be a shortstop. Shortstops were supposed to bunt. They were supposed to steal. They were supposed to move up the guy behind them, you know. But here's Ernie, who in 1 year hit more home runs than every other shortstop in the National League put together. And they didn't really know what to make of that. So while he was this great hitter, he really redefined the position of shortstop. I mean, you see Cal Ripken come along, and he's a big hitter too. It's kind of taken for granted now. But in Ernie's day, it was not. It was kind of a surprise. And the Cubs kept trying to find other players to play shortstop because they just couldn't come to terms with the fact that their biggest power hitter was playing what they considered to be out of position.
The book is Let's Play 2, The Legend of Mr. Cub, The Life of Ernie Banks, from Ron Rapoport, who knew Ernie. And, of course, 1969 is a year that they're celebrating in New York City for good reason. It was the year of the Amazing Mets. They won.
They're not celebrating in Chicago, too.
No, they're not.
And, and they don't call them the Amazing Mets. They have another adjective.
Well, the Cubs had a great team, and they really had a more talented team than did the New York Mets, who had Tom Seaver and a lot of guys who they had Nolan Ryan, but he was not in his prime. He was still a developing pitcher, but they were not as good as the Cubs, who had four future Hall of Famers on their team. How did the Cubs blow it in 69?
Two words, Leo Durocher. In researching the book, I became completely convinced, firmly convinced, that if anybody else had been managing that team, a reasonable human being, the Cubs would have won. He played his regulars to death. Ernie Banks, 38 years old, played in 155 games. Randy Hundley caught both ends of 9 doubleheaders. He was just dragging. Don Kessinger was hit 300 early in the season, was just dragging at the end of it. Ferguson Jenkins, in 1969, started 42 games, the most since Iron Man McGinnity at the turn of the 20th century. Phil Regan pitched out of the bullpen 7 games in a row. 8 is the record, was the record for the most consecutive games by a pitcher. Luckily, Fergie pitched a complete game on the 8th day, and Regan shook his hand and said, thank you, that's one record I didn't want. I mean, the Cubs had some pretty good backup players. Paul Popovich just sat on the bench. Ted Abernathy was in the bullpen. He just buried people. Leo just buried people and played the Cubs to death. Remember J.C. Martin? He was a backup catcher for the Mets on the 69 Mets. Well, Jim, he was from Chicago. And in 1970, the year after the Miracle Mets, he gets traded to the Cubs. Great, I'm going home, going to a really good team. You know, they almost won the pennant last year. Well, after a week of watching Leo manage the team, he knew it was hopeless. He said every game was like the bottom of the ninth or the seventh game of the World Series. He just had the players so tight, uptight, that they couldn't perform. And then J.C. Martin said this. To me, it sums up Leo Durocher's tenure with the Cubs. If Gil Hodges had been managing the Cubs in 1969 and not Durocher, the Cubs would have won the pennant.
It's probably true. The book is Let's Play 2 from Ron Rappaport about Ernie Banks, who was the greatest Cub of them all, and is noted he played with Billy Williams, Hall of Famer, Ron Santo, Hall of Famer, Fergie Jenkins, Hall of Famer, but it is Banks who is the most revered player in the history of Cubs baseball. And you have some nuggets about him in your book that some people may not even know about Ernie Banks. For example, he's a cousin of O.J. Simpson.
Well, his mother, Ernie's mother, was from Greenwood, Louisiana. And there was the Durdens. She was Essie Durden. And she had many, many brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. And they had these huge reunions about every 10 years. They'd go back to Greenwood. And there'd be tremendous outpourings of Durdens. And Ernie's brother, Walter, younger brother, still alive, I went to see him when I was in Dallas working on the book, which is where Ernie grew up, in Dallas. And he told me about these reunions, and then he said that he and his mother lived well into her 90s. In 2002, I believe it was. I have to look up the date, but I think that's what he told me. They went to this big gathering in Greenwood, Louisiana, and Walter was stunned to be looking into the eye of O.J. Simpson and Johnny Cochran. And only then did he realize that O.J.'s mother and his mother, Essie, were first cousins.
Of course, O.J. was 16 years younger than Ernie, but Ernie kept track of what was going on in the world and in the sporting world in particular, and you say he became obsessed with Tiger Woods. Why was that the case?
Well, Ernie was a great golfer, loved to play golf. And he thought that Tiger reminded him of himself. You know, Ernie playing on these terrible teams developed a kind of a zen attitude. Yeah, the team's not going anywhere, but it's me and it's the baseball. He just concentrated on what he could do and not worry about the fact that the team was no good. And so he would say things like, I swing and I think that I'm the baseball and I'm flying out of the ballpark. Kind of just something to keep his head in the game. Well, when he watched Tiger, of course, he was very proud that Tiger was the first truly great black golfer. He watched Tiger out there by himself. That's the way golfers are, you know. It's just them. because you can't control what the opposition is doing. It's not like baseball.
Well, Ernie had a full life, and it included a stint in the military. He was a Korean War era veteran, and you note appropriately in 2013, shortly before he died, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama.
Well, it was one of the great things of his life. Now, in the Army, he was lucky not to have to go to Korea. He went to Germany. Some of his high school buddies did go to Korea. So Ernie was lucky there. But yes, the Medal of Honor that he got from Barack Obama, who he knew when he was just a young politician in Chicago, was truly a great moment in his life. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. When you get the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the president says something about you. You know, his aides write up some remarks. Well, the genesis of the words, "Let's play two," Ernie told the story about 10 different ways. Ernie, when did you first say, "Let's play two"? Oh, it was in 1967. I was driving down Lakeshore Drive. No, it was in 1969. I was driving through the city. So there were all these, and I have a whole chapter trying to figure out when exactly it started and how it spread and become a part of the American vocabulary. Well, when Obama, President Obama, was draping the medal around Ernie's neck and reading some words about him, he told one of the phony stories that Ernie made up about the start of Let's Play 2. I thought that was really funny.
Well, it's a great book, and as you can hear, Ron is as enthusiastic about Ernie Banks as Ernie Banks was about baseball and life, and that's saying something. The book Let's Play 2, with that glorious smile of Ernie Banks. He was truly the happy warrior of the national pastime. Thank
you. Yes, he was. Yes.
Thank you so much, Ron, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jim. It was really a pleasure.